Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read from Luke. Last week, we confessed in the Athanasian Creed, whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. Today we see the application of this biblical truth. The rich man is in hell, while Lazarus is comforted at Abraham's side. So the biggest question from the gospel reading today is, what shall we do, lest we also come to this place of torment? At first glance, the story of the rich man and Lazarus seems to say that rich people go to hell and poor, sick people go to heaven. Wouldn't that be easy? Then the ideology would be right that says that struggling, disadvantaged people are more noble than fat cat CEOs. That's the message that we hear all the time, at least. So much so that it seems to be evil to even have money. If you don't believe me, just ask any Christian what kind of looks they got when they drove to church in a new Mercedes. But it's not that simple. The point of this story isn't found in purple robes and feasts or in starvation and open sores. In the Athanasian Creed and Matthew 25, verse 46, we confess, those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. What St. John said in the epistle is true. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. But it's deeper than just outward actions. Despite the first blush of this story, our lot in life does not determine our place in heaven or hell. If you're young, healthy, and everything's going well, that doesn't mean that God loves you any more than a middle-aged person who suffers with chronic pain. And if you can barely make ends meet, and you live with an endless stream of trouble, one crisis after another, God's love is undoubtedly yours through faith in Christ. What you have or you don't have in this life is not where to look for God's love. The important issue that this parable asks is, where is your faith? Jesus illustrates a rich man who believed in his material blessings, and he was comforted by them. On the other hand, Lazarus despised his earthly life, and he looked only to God for comfort, because he didn't have anything in this life to look to for that kind of comfort. But it doesn't just have to be deluded rich people and God-fearing poor people. St. Paul writes to Timothy and to us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Yes, there are wealthy people who boast in the comfort of their wealth, but there are also poor people who look to money as if it were their savior. And there are millionaires with messy divorce fights over property, and there are poor people who scrape and fight to get every last cent that they say that they're entitled to. But before God, they are all alike. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. So whether you're comfortable or you're lacking, if you believe your help comes from the things of this life, your faith is in the wrong thing. In Colossians chapter 3, St. Paul writes, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. This is where your Lord wants your faith to be, in Him who made heaven and earth, who adopted you as dear children, and who gladly and freely gives you everything that you need to support this body and life. And if that's where your faith is, then what flows from that faith is contentment. In this life, the rich man was content with having everything that his heart could desire, a full belly, fine clothes, and people who wait on him. Lazarus, though he had nothing, he was content with it. And that isn't to say that he's happy about it. He longed to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. But how can we make such a claim to say that Lazarus trusted in God, that he was content in him? Because this account in the gospel tells us something that we don't normally have knowledge of. We have Lazarus's faith. He had faith in God, evidenced by the fact that when he died, he was taken to heaven. Faith in God brings about contentment with whatever your earthly lot gives you. Again, from Colossians 3, verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." The trouble really isn't what stuff or how much stuff people have. It's our earthly, sinful hearts that are filled with jealousy and covet that Mercedes that our brother or sister drove to church. But if you have been crucified with Christ, and you are also put to death with him, all that fills you with discontentment died on the cross. It died in the font. It died at the beginning of the service when you confessed your sins. And your true God, the maker of heaven and earth, has given you a new heart. He's given you his Holy Spirit, so that by his divine strength, you have faith that trusts in him above all things. And with your faith, you acknowledge him as your loving Father in heaven. Your loving Father always cares for you. He never shortchanges you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Yes, he may let you go hungry, as he did let the Israelites go hungry, but he did feed them. He did not let them perish. Therefore, whether you have much or little, it is enough. You might have good health or you might have poor health. It is enough. And whether he gives or he takes away, it is enough. It is enough because it is what your Father has given you for today. As a matter of fact, he also teaches that to congregations too, who think that they're not good enough, who think that there aren't enough people in the pews. The Holy Spirit gives, or he takes away, but it is enough. The people who are gathered here today are the people who need to hear the word and receive the Lord's body and blood. And now that he's given you a right faith and contentment in him, then he sends each one of us to go out and love our brother, love our neighbor. The faithful, who are amply supplied as the rich man was, now get to share in something amazing. St. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." But on the other side, if you are in need, your place in this economy of God's provision is no less important. Even though you might not be able to be generous in the way that some others can, God has also given you empty hands to lift up to him, to receive every good thing that God gives you, even if it's through the hands of others, all while giving thanks and praise to Him, your Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit, who's been given to you, will also keep you from trusting and hoarding what you have. When our journey is over, and God brings us from this valley of sorrows to Himself in heaven, then these differences of rich and poor will pass away. In the kingdom of God, none are lacking, and all are fully comforted. And the amazing inheritance that God has stored up for you is yours through faith in Christ, not a result of works, so that no one should boast. And therefore, in this life, it is our duty to thank and praise and serve and obey the God who has provided for all that we need for this life and to bring us to eternity through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.